This morning, our scripture lesson is from the book of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 and ending with verse 19. You know, I've always enjoyed campfires, just something about the smell of the smoke, crackling of the fire, the different colors of the flame that burns within, and certainly watching the sparks flying high up into the sky, warming oneself on those cool mornings, and being with friends and family, and telling stories, cooking hot dogs and s'mores, watching marshmallows kind of just burst into flames. The memories that come flooding back just because of the flickering of a flame. You know, as a boy, I was always getting myself into trouble with fire, with campfires. There was just something inside of me that said, you know, you just gotta, you know, gotta mess with it. You gotta poke it. You gotta stir up those embers and all, and you gotta move the logs and especially those little half-burnt pieces of wood that fall off. And those little pieces of wood, those sticks that would fall off, they were the ones that really got me into trouble. From about as far back as I can remember, up until my 20s or something, I don't think there was probably a time that I didn't get myself burned whenever I was around a fire. You know, a log would fall off and doggone it, I just had to get it back up on there. And I knew I'd probably get burned, but I'd be extra, extra careful. And so there I would grab that log and try to get it pulled back up, but it just never failed. Maybe it wasn't that first time that I grabbed the log, or the second time, or the fourth, or the fifth time, but I want to tell you, before the night was out, I'd be up jumping around and flinging my hand and trying to find a cold can of pop and to soothe that burn. And of course, whenever you put boys and fire together with no adult supervision, you just get all kinds of stupid. You know, how high can you jump over the flame, right? And of course, that all kind of depends on how high the flame is. And I tell you, I can't tell you how many shoes and pants I ruined of that silly game. But the stupid things that we do with campfire. It's no wonder my parents would tell me things like, you know, Andy, if you play with the fire, you're going to pee the bed. But you know, that doesn't stop you, does it? Kind of puts the fear in you, but you know, you still had to poke and fool with it, right? Right? Yeah. Why do we do sometimes the things that we do? Why is it that sometimes we're kind of like a moth just drawn to the flame? Why is it that sometimes we do those very things that we've told ourselves 1,000 times before that we're just not going to do, or we're not going to say again, and then here it is, we find ourselves doing or saying just that? Why do we sometimes hurt not just ourselves, but those whom we really care about? You see, it was for people like you and for me that Jesus came. It was for people who were always getting just too close to the flame why Jesus came. It was for people who found themselves doing that which they did not want to do and not doing that which they wanted to do why Jesus came. It was for those of you who are like me, fallible, why Jesus came. Not to condemn, not to ridicule, not to say, I told you so, not even to strong arm us into doing or even making us feel like dirt because of what we have done or not done. Why Jesus came. You see, Jesus came to meet us right where we are. And for some, that's holding that hot, smoldering piece of wood in our hands. For others, it might be messing with the embers and poking around or being so foolish even as to see how far we can jump over that flame, knowing very well what the results could be. Struggling with that temptation of doing that which we know that can harm us, possibly even destroy us or even destroy that relationship that we have with another. And Jesus meets some of us even right where we are after the fact and trying to put out that burn of the flame. And you see, that's where Jesus met Peter on the shore of Galilee. It was there after the fact. Oh, you see, Jesus didn't come to ridicule or condemn Peter. He didn't appear before his disciples to strong arm them. He didn't even come to ask why they're out there fishing whenever there are people to win for him and that the good news should be proclaimed. Jesus just came to meet them right where they were. And where was Peter? Where was Peter? Peter was broken, is where Peter was. Peter was questioning himself. He was questioning his call. He was questioning whether Jesus could truly forgive him, his denying him. I mean, here he was. He was supposed to be the rock, and now he is just broken into these little bits of gravel. And no doubt as he sat around that fire, listening to his friends that morning tell stories, his friends laughing and telling how they just couldn't believe all the fish that they had caught, how they even struggled to pull all of those fish to the shore that was caught that morning. The smell of the fish cooking over the fire. The sound of the crackling flame, the smoke rising up must have certainly reminded Peter of that night just 2 weeks before when he was questioned three times. Are you not one of Jesus' disciples? No. No, I am not. Are you? I'm sure you are one of. No, I don't know him. You're a Galilean. I know you're one of his disciples. I tell you the truth. I don't know the man. And the rooster crows. Oh, you see, Jesus came to meet Peter right where he was. Oh, make no mistake. It's not a coincidence that three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Each time giving Peter the opportunity to affirm his love and his commitment as Jesus' disciple. Oh, Simon, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep then, Peter. And then that third time, feed my sheep. You know, it's interesting that the first two times that Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" The word that Jesus uses for love is agape. Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you agape love me?" You see, the agape love is that love that is never ending. It's kind of like that love that God has for us. It never stops. It goes the difference. It loves that no matter what. "Peter, do you love me?" An agape love. And whenever Peter answers, he says, "Yes, Lord, I know I love you." But you know, the word that Peter uses is phileo. Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, do you agape love me?" And Peter comes back and says, "Yes, Lord, I phileo love you." Phileo is that love that we have for a brother. It's a kind of love that we have for a friend. And twice Jesus asks Peter, "Peter, do you agape love me? Do you love me with this all-encompassing, this no-ending kind of love?" And twice Peter responds to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you like a brother. I love you like a friend." And here we see Jesus again meeting Peter right where he was, because the third time that Jesus asked Peter that question of, "Do you love me?" Do you know the third time he changes his question from agape to phileo? "Peter, do you phileo love me? Peter, do you love me like a friend, like a brother?" And Peter affirmed, "Yes, Lord. You know I love you like a friend. I love you like a brother." Well, you see, Jesus accepts Peter right where he was. And this acceptance he has for Peter, it shows Peter that he is still loved and he is still forgiven and he's still called to lead the church and to certainly be that rock that he was called to be. Oh, you see, this is the grace that was offered to Peter and to his disciples, who each one forsook him and denied him and tucked their tails in and ran off and hid themselves away on that night that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, this was the grace that is offered to each one of them and to all whose actions say that I don't know him. You see, this is who Jesus is. One of unending mercy, unending grace and forgiveness. Because of us? No. Not at all. It's because of Him. Because you see, this is who Jesus is. And this is why Jesus meets us right here, where we are this morning. It's because of who Jesus is. Not ridiculing us or condemning us, but hoping the very best for us and in us. And here we are today, probably some of us holding that half-burnt piece of stick in our hand, as foolish as that might be, like a moth drawn to a flame, giving in to our temptations, doing the very same things that we told ourselves 1,000 times before that we're not going to do or say. Well, you see, with Jesus, there is always a fresh start. There's always a new beginning. You can never go so far that Jesus is not there. You can never do or you can never say anything that will ever make God stop loving you or desiring you, even if you've done that or been there 1,000 times before. I want to tell you, if your heart is sincere, God's mercy is greater than any sin. You see, the Lord knows that we are fallible. That's why Jesus came. This morning we're going to meet together around a table and to break bread and to share in His cup. I want to do that this morning, gathered here around a campfire, remembering how Jesus redeemed and renewed Peter on that shore of Galilee. And this morning, if you need some renewal, if there's been something you've struggled with or struggling with in your soul, or maybe you've been playing with fire, or you've been just a little too close to the flames, then bring your heart to Jesus. You know, bring your troubles to Christ, your concern, the things that cause you to sin. And let Jesus speak His words of acceptance and His love for you. Let Jesus affirm His call for you in your life. Let Him meet you where you are, and let Him fill you with forgiveness and with grace and healing through the power of His Holy Spirit. This morning, I want to encourage you to take some time here in prayer. Whether that be for yourself or for those that God is moving closer, or for that person who's been upon your heart and your mind. Communion's going to be served over here on the left side by the piano, and over here on the north side of the church. And so this will give you an opportunity to come and to share, and to either kneel or to stand here at the steps or the communion rail, and to spend some time with Jesus alone in prayer, giving thanks to God for what He's given and all that He's done, and praying for those things that maybe we need to let go of, or that fire that we've just gotten a little close to. And then after you spend some time here around the campfire, then go out to the sides and receive communion as you break bread with the Lord, as we bring to Him our hearts and our lives and join Him in this holy meal. Let's prepare our hearts to welcome Jesus, to break bread with Him and to receive His grace through His cup. May we draw close to Him and close to each other as we share in this holy meal together. It was the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He met with His disciples in an upper room, and there He broke bread, and He blessed it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is My body broken for you." Following the supper, Jesus took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you take and you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of Me until My coming. This is the blood of Christ poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin." Holy and loving God, we thank You this morning for this bread and for this cup, for this time together to gather as Your church, Your community of faith, Your bride, to share together once again in this meal that You have provided, this body broken for us, this cup, this blood poured out for us and for all. Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your sacrifice and how You go the distance with us and for us, that You love us with an agape love, and God, help us to love You in return the same way. Lord, we would ask now that You would enter into these elements of the bread and cup so that as we partake of them, we partake of You. Fill us to overflowing with Your Holy Spirit and draw near to us. Redeem us, receive us, forgive us of our sin, and make us one with You and one with each other. For we give You all praise and thanks, Jesus. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. May you go now with God's grace. May you experience His love and His mercy and the hope that only Jesus brings. And may you know His peace always. Amen. Amen.